to mention that. Isn't that right, Scott?
What is wrong with him?
It's the Rick Emerson Rave. The list is long.
Isn't that right?
He needs to do something more interesting.
No, that's a goat. What noise does a donkey make? Is a donkey the thing at the end of the Britney sounder?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Scotty's new sounder. Isn't that right, Scotty? Hey, Scotty J, could you come to the studio, please?
Thank you.
That is if you can find your way.
Listen to you, meow.
Well, that's what he said that he couldn't do.
Yeah. No, we'll ask him.
503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So Rick Emerson radio program. So we'll talk to Rachel McGrath from CNN Radio Los Angeles here in just a moment. You know, and I'm breaking my own rule here, by the way. You know, I can't eat when I'm on the air. I got this whole thing about
it. Don't say it makes you mush mouth. There's me say that's the grossest thing.
It makes me mush mouth. No, it doesn't do that, but it's like...
Well, it has its own particular sound to it.
No, I'm saying when I eat on the air, though, it's, well, you know, like if you, you know, just certain food.
You can't go bad about all the people starving in the world.
No, no, not at all. I'm just saying this chocolate Chex Mix is actually so good that I can't, it is the one that'll get me to break my OCD rules. Scotty?
Yes?
If I were to ask you if we were out of coffee in the kitchen, what would you say?
Well, a moment ago it was a crisis, but I'm on top of it now.
See, and by on top of meaning it's been fixed?
No.
Okay, here's the thing. Like an hour ago, I was like, hey, in fact, it was more than that. It was at the beginning of the show. It was like 11 o'clock.
It was dangerously low.
And I said, hey, you know, we're going to be out here and there's no more coffee. And can you ask Dave Zinn about it? Because Scotty said, well, we're out. And I said, well, you know, you ask Dave Zinn, who's the gatekeeper upstairs. You can take care of this. So about 2 minutes ago during the break, I go into the kitchen. We're completely out of coffee now. Completely out, gone. And this is where things don't get done here when there's no coffee. And I asked Scotty, I said, hey, did you talk to Dave Zinn upstairs about coffee? And Scotty goes, well, see, it's a funny thing about that, Rick. It's hard to explain. And then he just walked off. That's what's hard to explain. And I said, that's a no. And he goes, no, I didn't. And that's it. And I asked you, I said, well, why haven't you asked Dave Zinn about, you know, why did you do that? And he goes, I can't figure out how to get a hold of Dave Zinn. I got to figure out how to get him on that, how to reach him. Here's the thing. Dave Zinn's about 15 feet away.
Yep.
Your
this is
office,
all true.
Your office is like here. His office is about 25 feet away from yours. So the question is, why were you unable to find Dave Zinn to get more coffee?
Well, I thought I needed to call him upstairs.
Did you think you weren't allowed to go speak to him in person?
No, I just, I've been really busy,
Been doing what?
Downloading, the show, stuff like that.
Pictures of Daniel Radcliffe?
Yes.
All right, so you thought you needed to call him.
Right, and I didn't have the exact number. But then I found it. But in the meantime, I go, oh, why didn't I just email him, which I just did, and I called up there.
He's 15 feet away.
He's right over there.
Okay.
And when you say that, like, then you found, you didn't know the number to call. I mean, you sit in front of a computer you sit in front of a computer that's hooked to the World Wide Web. You work at CB.
There's
a phone
no
list.
Excuse. There's no coffee. There's no excuse. And the short end of the story is, no, I didn't, but now I have.
Hey, you can't. You yes. There's no excuse that I didn't have his phone number. How?
Oh, and he's not around right now. He'll be back from lunch soon.
You know when he was around?
All day.
2 hours ago when we first mentioned this. All right. How long did it take you to get his phone number? This guy who works in the same building you do, about 20 feet away from you.
Not long once I opened up my phone list.
All right. See? See how easy that is? All right. So, are we going to take care of that?
You bet, Rick. Done. Consider it done.
Considering
it, I can consider myself...
Can you just walk to the kitchen and get more coffee, no?
I can consider myself black. It doesn't really mean that I am.
I can get you some Viso, if that'll suffice.
If I were to ask you if there would be coffee by, I don't know, 1:30, would I regret it?
I would just say yes.
Okay, you're going to say... Here's the thing. Will there be coffee by 1:30?
Rick, how could I...
He's 20 feet away. He's right over there.
I'm just wondering how I could possibly know when the beans will arrive or if they're hidden somewhere in the building. I have no clue.
Yes, they're hidden. They're magic beans.
I wouldn't put it past somebody that they were, like, hidden so they wouldn't
get
stolen.
How could it possibly be this hard to make a pot of coffee? All right.
I can run across the street and get some Folgers for you. We're out of beans. That's the deal.
Okay, fine. Thank you. I appreciate that. Do we have introduction music for Rachel McGrath? We don't. Well, let's just use the Star Wars bed. Do you see what I'm talking about? I don't know
it's
how to.
Very frustrating.
I don't know how to get Dave's phone number.
See, the thing with Scotty is that he does so much so well, and then it's little easy things like this that should, you know, be done in a second.
He's trying to get the phone number of a guy whose desk is 20 feet away from him. I can't possibly go speak to him. I have to call. And even if that was the case, there's a phone list in every room in the building, and there's an internet, there's a computer right in front of you. There's also a phone, but also you're 20 feet away from him. All right, I'm sorry. Let's keep ourselves under control. Thank you. Isn't that right, Scotty? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, and now she's gone. Oh, she's on two? All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program from CNN Radio, Los Angeles, Rachel McGrath. Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Are you very well, or is that a pat response you give to other people to shield us from your real feelings?
Yeah, okay, I've got the cold and cough that's going around, all right?
But, you know, here at CBS Radio, we're calling it the CBS death flu.
It is a death flu, all right.
And here's what you can expect to experience in the next 3 or 4 days. First, your organs are going to liquefy, and then probably you'll begin craving human blood, and then I would imagine that you're going to walk around with a sort of blank, zombie-eyed stare, and then your friends and loved ones will eventually have to kill you and burn your body to keep you from rising again.
That's pretty nasty, then.
I'm just saying it's not quite the avian flu, but it's not just a sniffle. You know what
okay.
I mean?
All right. Yeah, all right.
Hey.
Thanks for that. I'll go away and call into a corner now.
Well, you know, I mean, living in Los Angeles, you're going to die of something unpleasant anyway. it's a given that you live in L.A., eventually something bad is going to happen to you, and so, you know, better you get it now than later. That's my theory.
Okay, thanks.
Here's the thing. There's this story that the California legislature's talking about, and California's a harbinger of what happens in other states, so I am curious about this. People in America often complain that the government takes 4 steps to do badly what they could have done well in 1 step. And this seems to be a perfect example of this. I'm going to read this out loud now, and I'm going to see if I'm the only one to whom this makes no sense. Under a new bill proposed in the California legislature, every newborn child in the state would receive $500 in a savings account. The money would earn interest, and the $500 would be repaid to the state when the child gets the funds at 18. I don't understand what this means. If they're going to put $500 in a savings account for every kid that's born, let's say for me, I'm born, they give me $500. When I turn 18, I got to give the $500 back, but the money's mine. Why don't they just wait and give me the differential just flat out when I'm 18? This seems like many, many, many steps and pointless.
Yes, it could seem like that, but the idea is actually to encourage parents and family members to save money for the child as the child grows, so to prepare them for the college fees or a down payment on buying their own home or something like that. And so the idea is that if they give every child $500 in a savings account, that accrues interest, so obviously there's more than $500 by the time the child gets to 18, so they will have some money left if nobody touches it. But they're hoping that parents and will give money into that savings account for the child. So they're saying if families add $50 a month, every month until the child is 18, then by that time there'll be $17,500. So you pay back your $500 and you've still got $17,000 to spend on college or a home or retirement fund or whatever. That's the idea. How many families can actually afford to put $50 a month away is another matter. But the idea is that they want to encourage families to invest in the child's future and not just sort of panic about it when the child hits 18.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. These things are well-intentioned and will not work. This is sort of a cosmetic legislation. This is a nifty idea that somebody came up with at the last moment because Arnold Schwarzenegger was demanding that there be some sort of a solution to something, and somebody brainstormed this in about 7 minutes on the back of a matchbook. Here's the thing, because...
Well, agree you say that, but this program has actually been tried out in the UK, in Britain.
Yeah.
And it's been there for 5 years. And they do have found there, apparently, that people have put money away and it has increased the sort of the awareness of saving money, if you like.
Yeah, but that's because people in the UK probably aren't sitting around trying to figure out how they can buy a 100-inch television that's made of chocolate or whatever the hell the average American is thinking about purchasing. I'm just saying Americans are fundamentally, there is some sort of cultural or genetic incapability hardwired into Americans ones where we just can't save money in this country. Americans, when it comes, and I'm not saying I'm any better than this, that Americans are just generally really, really dumb when it comes to this kind of thing. And frankly, really, if I could just say that, if you really got to work at being able to put $50 aside a month, you ought not to be having kids. You'd be really better served if you're not reproducing in the first place. That would be my situation. That really is like, if it really is a question whether you can put away half a C-note over the course of an entire month, you probably shouldn't be saddling the rest of us with a kid that we're inevitably going to end up paying for anyway. That's simply my opinion on this. But is this done anywhere else in America, or is California the first state that's going to try this?
No, California is the first state. It's not happening yet. They're looking at it. It's a bipartisan bill that was introduced into the state Senate yesterday. So they're looking at it, but they would be the first state in the nation to go ahead with this kind of program. And so obviously, you know, that's something. I mean, it's kind of an interesting idea, I think. At least it's got people talking about, you know, how, you know, we are going to provide for future generations, because, you know, let's face it, there isn't enough money to go around right now, and it's probably just going to get worse.
There you go. Just a ray of sunshine in the day is what you are.
Yes,
the,
it is, isn't it? Well, I feel sick, so, you know.
Yeah, it's okay. Hey, here's something that'll cheer you up. I don't know if you know Steve Kassenbaum, who is the new CNN radio correspondent for the fine city of New York, but I would like to share with you this little bit of wisdom in this tidbit of information that I'm sharing with everyone today from the CNN website. CNN radio correspondent Steve Kassenbaum is a regular on New York's swing dancing scene and is often spotted around town doing the Lindy Hop. So there you go. So the next time you talk to Steve Kassenbaum, there's a little something you can use to break the ice, Rachel.
Thank you.
All right. Rachel, thank you so much. Rachel McGrath, get better soon, and I'm sure we will talk to you in the near future. All right, thank you. There you go. Rachel McGrath, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent. Ha! Out! Done. Finished. Didn't call her, Rebecca. In your face. Because I know you were all waiting for me to fall on it. I knew it. I know you were waiting for me just to eat crap there.
No, she's
happen.
Been as jovial as she did last time, but I'm sure it's because
she's sick. She's sick.
She's sick.
Has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah. Not right. You.
Let's her. See here.
Hang up and then dial your operator.
Oh, I love this lady.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Does dialing zero even get you the operator anymore?
It gets you Dave Zinn.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess I have to pick up a line. Okay.
Does Scotty know that?
You can only dial out of the one line.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Let me hold on.
Thank you for calling KUFO Moving 1075.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking for Dave Zinn. That's my fault. I'll call back. This is Rick Emerson. I'll call back later.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. There you go.
Well, that was a real lady.
Present.
Yeah. Now, what?
That was a real live lady.
Yeah. No.
How come she didn't mention our station? We should call her back and ask.
Thank you for calling KUFO Moving 1075.
Hi, this is Rick Emerson again.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, so apparently when I dialed this number just now, I called KUFO and Movin 1075.
Yep.
Anything else you'd like to add to that, Greeny?
Oh, an AM 970. Sorry.
That's all right. Don't worry. I'm just making. Just Sarah pointed it out. Just want to make sure that we're all on this. Want to make sure that there wasn't anything you knew that I didn't know.
No, I'm sorry.
All right. Not at all. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There you go. All right. No, she didn't sound pleased to hear from me. Well, what are you going to do?
All right. Let's call her again.
When you called it, I'm not calling her again.
Okay, I'll call.
What's the number?
Zero.
Let's see, do I call from this side?
Yes. No, you call on the top.
You just say sorry,
you call on the top.
I don't know how to use this.
Hit the top, the other bank.
This one?
Yeah.
So you call with a couple.
Is that a different couple?
I'm scared.
Hey, UFO, moving 1075 and AM 970.
You rule!
Right, we're just checking. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Fantastic. Okay, there you go. All right.
Now she's not going to do it.
No? She totally hates us.
She hates us.
All maybe right. She knows where the coffee is.
Well, I don't know. No, when you do that, it's like you know, you call and, you know, they say everybody's name but yours or every station but yours, and suddenly you wonder if something's afoot that you haven't been told about. Because funny is you call the other building, you call the coin tower, and they said they answer it KUPL and K-Hits. So, two buildings.
As long as they don't say La Fiesta 970.
503-733-2970. Scotty, call her again and ask her if she gave my message to Dave Zinn. Scotty, I'm not calling her again. She already hates us. It's
503-733-2970. Every time I get down, I just keep thinking, isn't that right, donkey?
Isn't that right, donkey? Let's see here. We've got a lot of... A lot of calls or a lot of emails here about the Rick, do you think this guy heard the donkey talking back to him? And was he trying? And here's my question. The story about the donkey, this donkey that he talked to a lot in the kitchen at work, isn't that right, donkey? Was this distinct from the donkey he then eventually took to the hotel?
Well, does the donkey in Shrek have a name?
I don't know.
Because it says that he was obsessed with watching the movie Shrek, even checked himself in the hotel as Mr. Shrek.
I don't. My question, though, is the donkey that in his head that he imagined distinct from the donkey he took to the hotel? And when he took a real donkey to the hotel, did the imaginary donkey that he talks to vanish? Or was it still there?
But maybe it isn't an imaginary donkey. Maybe he's just quoting things from the movie.
It says here, suffered from fixation, could be heard talking to himself, saying things like, isn't that right, donkey? I don't know. Told the checking clerk the donkey was a breed of super rabbit. Let's see. Okay. Rick,
I want a picture of the donkey.
Does the story say what floor this man's room was on? I'm having wonderful visions of a latex-encased man either leading a donkey up several flights of stairs or some sort of fear and loathing-esque vision of someone waiting for an elevator, the door opening, and there being a crazy man in latex with a donkey on a harness, and this guy just saying, no, 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 I'll take the next elevator instead. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Is it 125?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Damn. All right, well, so little to do, so much time. All right, well, we should probably break here because we got to get to the...
I just want to thank you, Rick, because you say it's the best story ever sometimes, and it's kind of subpar, you know, it's not the best thing. This is the best story ever.
It's never subpar. It's hard, though, because the stories have to keep topping themselves.
This is the toppermost.
All right, I'm going to play us into a break here and play a little song. We'll take this in the break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we'll have the top five, and we'll do this Star Wars question before the topic. I swear to God, we'll get it done. I swear to you on all that is holy. You just don't go anywhere. There's a band called the Travolters. This song is called Liv Tyler. Stay there. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Oh, that's me. Back out of this.
Thank you.
show at 503-733-2970. 503, we're almost on time today. 503-733-2970. Rick, oh, by the way, we got some coffee, so everybody can quit worrying about it.
We went. But we did steal
it. We stole it from the salespeople.
And apologize to the lovely front desk lady.
Well, and the salespeople come down and steal crap from us.
Well, they shouldn't be here drinking coffee. They belong on the streets.
That's what I'm saying. They don't even need desks.
Little shoe leather never hurt anybody.
You know what they should have after? They should just give the salespeople desks but no chairs. That's the thing. You want to be here, you got to stand.
Or coffee after they turn in contracts.
because coffee is only for who?
Winners.
Closers.
Oh, yeah. Well done. Well played, sir. All right. Coffee's for closers only. Rick, I'm 17 and want to pursue a career in radio. God, sad. It's walking into the propeller, one generation after another. Yo, Rick, he says, I am 17 and want to pursue a career in radio and would love to do much of the same thing that Julia chick did the other day. Julia, the job shadower from blah, blah, blah high school. Can you please email back telling me how to get that going? I would greatly appreciate that. B.S. Julia sounded cute. Can you maybe hook me up? Yes, I'll get right on that. P.P.S. If I could get that to work out, that'd be sweet. But if not, hey, maybe you can record me getting rejected and shot down and then play it on the air. It might make good radio. Well, there you go. That's a thought. You might have a career in this business after all, sir. That's from Ray. All right, there you go. 17 and I want to pursue a career in radio. It's just sad, isn't it? All right, it's 503.
It's that gene that you think will skip a generation and never does.
No, it's true. It's 503-733-2970. All right, here's what's coming up. We've got, just forgive me while I do a little ad hoc organizing here in my head. Okay, we got to do the Star Wars thing. Let me forget about that. Star Wars. And that's the one thing I want to get done today. And then we've got Tim. We've got next hour. We'll talk to Jen Lane a little bit and some other things if we have time. In the meantime, here he is at the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
And now from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
All the ways of the Banfield have reopened after this morning's massive milk spill. A tanker, a giant one, spilled over 7,000 gallons of milk. A driver of the tanker, Francisco Marcius, had to move over, trying to avoid a car that cut him off in traffic, and he struck an abandoned automobile. Workers vacuumed up the milk that was gushing out of the tanker, diluting it with water. Don't ask me why milk needs to be diluted on. They just use a milk vacuum. The milk is the property of the Milky Way Corporation of Sunnyside, Washington. Nobody was hurt, except for the pride of the cows who gave it. And no citations have been issued.
Okay.
Meanwhile, sheriff's deputies say a Houston woman apparently talked on a cell phone drove into a lake. Two people rescued the woman after she drove into a man-made lake. It happened around 9:30 this morning. They gave her CPR and took her cell phone away. Out to Florida we go now.
Oh, I wasn't prepared.
Oh, you win.
He shut up. It's doing my best over here.
An argument inside the Black Rhino exhibit at Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park.
An argument inside a Black Rhino?
A Black Rhino Kingdom led to a bizarre attack in which a worker was doused with gasoline and nearly set on fire. Disney contractor Stephen Kim doused a co-worker with gasoline and struck a lighter at a distance at 3 a.m. this morning. He claims the man was chasing him with a shovel. The two men were cleaning the Black Rhino pond at the Disney theme park when the accident occurred. The victim was injured. He ran away and called the authorities. I don't know what that was about. Meanwhile, some high school students are defending their dance moves. Cleveland High School administrators shut down a semi-formal dance because of what they called offensive freak dancing. Cleveland senior Jordan Mayo said he wasn't surprised to see students breaking on the dance floor at this year's, which was semi-formal at the Portland Art Museum.
Oh, it's here?
Yeah, it's a girl in front of a guy. They're pretty much grinding. It's like having sex with their clothes on.
Don't we get this story about every 6 weeks from a different city?
Yep.
Sometimes it's called grinding.
So they kept the dance short, set the kids home because of the suggestive dancing. Students and school leaders shouldn't get all shaken up about the way they express themselves on the dance floor. Meanwhile, Columbine High School evacuated today due to a bomb threat. All we know at this point was there was a bomb threat. This is the famous high school where Eric Harris and Dean Klebold killed 13 people in 1999 before killing themselves. Well, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, no, it was. We were on the air, though. It was, yeah, we were, this show was on in Portland. So remember, we were, like, covering it live on the air. I remember, well, sitting, I remember, when is the anniversary? It's April 20th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
99.
Yeah, because I remember we had somebody from CNN on. I remember sitting and watching the TV as they were, like, helping kids out of the, like, kids were jumping out of the windows and whatever. And, yeah, so, all right, well, there's that. All right, well, let's do a couple more here, and then we'll, I'll get to this Star Wars letter.
The general in charge of Walter Reed Medical Center in Washington has lost his command. Army Secretary Fran Harvey relieved Major General George Whiteman of his command in the wake of reports of negligence of the wounded soldier.
George Whiteman?
Uh-huh.
Yep, Whiteman. Okay.
House Armed Service Committee member Duncan Hunter of California agrees with that decision.
With commander's titles comes a lot of privilege and responsibility, and I do believe the commanders have to have both privilege and responsibility, and I have no reason to second guess or question the Secretary of Army's decision.
The Washington Post, which hates America, detailed filthy conditions in hospital buildings, including a building where injured soldiers were lying among mice, mold, and roaches. In a written statement, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said, "The care and welfare of our wounded men and women in uniform demand the highest standard of excellence and commitment that we can muster as a government." Meanwhile, Representative Duncan Hunter says Army Secretary Fred Harvey's credentials are solid.
I know the Secretary of Army very well. He's a good man. I'm sure he thought about this very long and hard about what action to take.
Long and hard. Is he really just saying the phrase Secretary of Army over and over again?
I believe so.
Is it supposed to be it's like a look at banner, Michael, kind of thing? Isn't there supposed to be a the in there?
Yes, there is.
Play that again.
Sure. I'd be happy.
This is the most recent.
I know the Secretary of Army very well. He's a good man. I'm sure he thought about this very long and hard about what action to take.
I'm going to do a radio show now, and then later, yeah.
Right. Okay, keep wasabi.
Yeah. See, that's like that cancer joke that I couldn't make work the other day. The thing about
it's one of those things, yes.
There'll be days for other cancer jokes.
Okay. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself what George W. Bush thinks about the Walter Reed medical situation?
No, I have not. Should I?
Yes.
All right, I will next time I see him.
Okay.
I know the Secretary of Army.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. No, we have coming up into the next break. We won't do it now. Coming up into the next break, we have this week's weekly radio address from the good folks at The Onion.
That's what that was about.
Which I do believe. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I recovered. No, we'll play that into the next break. We have the weekly radio address from The Onion, which I believe is about Walter Reed. It's 503-733-2970. Let's do one more story here, and then I will read this Star Wars email. I'm going to read this after we do the story, and we'll get your calls on it, because I don't want to answer it myself, because it is the sort of thing that requires a sort of consensus. So let's do one more here, and then I'll read this.
This note comes to us from the other Portland, the one on the East Coast. A Skowhegan Maine man taken to a Portland hospital early today after a shooting that left him with a gunshot wound to the buttocks and a bullet lodged in his pelvic region.
Okay.
Events surrounding the shooting began to unfold around 11 o'clock Monday when the Kennebec County Sheriff's Department received an emergency 911 call of a gunshot. Deputies arrived at the scene and determined Adam Holt had been shot in the buttocks. No exit wound was located. Further investigation reveals that the bullet had traveled from the rear of the victim, which is the buttocks, entering the pelvic area, and the bullet remains in Holt's private region.
That's unfortunate.
It is.
All right. Let's see. Okay, so we've got this here. Where is this Star Wars email? Rick, question for the geeks. So, and I'm going to give you the phone number. This is one of those questions. So I'm going to give you this phone number before I even read this. If you're a geek, you may just want to begin calling now. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This isn't like a geek trivia question or anything. This is sort of advice from geeks. Thank you. Rick, this email says, if you were to befriend someone who has never had the privilege of watching any installment of the Star Wars saga, and assuming you would feel some form of responsibility or obligation to be sure this happened, in what arrangements, episodes 1-6, would you exhibit them to these virgin eyes? I feel most people would encourage viewing based on their original release dates, starting with episode 4, A New Hope. But there's opportunity here to show the saga to someone in a new light, starting with episode 1, The Phantom Menace. You can see the responsibility that lay upon my shoulders. Thanks for your help, Rick. P.S. They have Vizo at the Fubon, at the Fubon Asian Market on 82nd between Division and Powell. Thank you, D.C. All right, so there you go. So now, Sarah, have you seen all the Star Wars films?
Mm-mm.
I see you just shook your head silently there for a second because you almost didn't want to say it out loud. Which of the Star Wars... Really? Which of the Star Wars films have you seen?
We've talked about this, and I don't...
No, we haven't.
I haven't seen any of them.
What? We haven't talked about this because I know that. That's the sort of thing that I would know.
I've seen, like, bits and pieces on, like, USA. Like, you know, I'd watch it for, like, an hour. But my dad was a huge fan of it. But
you've never revealed that before because I would remember that. That's the thing that would stick out. That's like you saying that you had a third nipple.
I mean, I think that I've seen the first one, maybe.
And by first, you mean which one?
One of the, like...
Sarah's doing, like, a too many fish in the sea thing with her hands.
Like, they're flying through the thing, and there's a chase. And...
Oh, that's Independence Day. That's Thunderbolt and Lightfoot. That's Mother Jugs and Speed. I'm sorry? Go ahead.
No, I can't even pretend. I don't know.
You've seen a Star Wars film all the way through?
Yes, I remember them in a desert, and then there's a lot of flying, and then there's the thing with Darth Vader, and the fight, and the death, and...
Who dies?
I don't know.
How is it that you've been on this program for all of these years, and none of us knew that you hadn't seen any of the Star Wars films?
Because sometimes you say things and I just don't talk.
Sometimes you... Did you purposely not let us know about this? Because you knew that it was going to become a... That's now overshadowing the actual email that got sent in here. Really? Haven't any of the guys you dated been like, baby, you got to see this. Sit down. Because I know, like, your last ex, he made you watch Rocky, right?
Mm-hmm.
He made you watch Rocky. What else did he make you watch? Did he make you watch anything else?
Mm.
Was there anything else that, like, sort of you had to be indoctrinated into? Like, any films that, like, you hadn't seen that he felt like you had to?
Harold and Maude.
Oh, that good? Okay, good on
it. Yeah, I like that movie a lot.
No, it's a great movie.
No, it's just basically Rocky.
All right. Well, that's just weird.
It's not weird.
You're a bad American. All right, well, whatever.
Okay.
Okay, so, in any event, so that...
Stop looking at me, right? It's dirty.
Never seen Star Wars.
And I don't want to borrow it from you.
Did I even offer?
You were going to.
I wasn't. I know. No, believe it or not, I really wasn't. Here's the thing. If I can tell you a brief story, here's the thing about why I was not going to offer you Star Wars. No, it's like, because everybody cares. I would never try to get you to watch something. Like, I would never offer to give you something you hadn't asked for. Because then if you didn't... Because then there's all this weight on it, you know what I mean? Because then if you watch it and you don't like it, then it's like, then there's awkwardness. It's like, we were talking about Napoleon Dynamite the other day, and somebody was talking about how you and I have this disproportionate hatred for Napoleon Dynamite, and I was thinking about this last night, actually, that when I, and we will get to these calls, because we were calling about it, when Napoleon Dynamite first came out, it came out in September, and I hated that movie so much. Napoleon Dynamite made me... so furious. It made me so angry and filled with just a black, roiling rage that I didn't even... It made me so angry that I actually didn't even talk about it. And you know, when I'm pissed off about something, I come and I talk about it. It went beyond that. It was like it went into this hyper realm of anger where I didn't even discuss it on the air. I didn't even mention the words Napoleon and Dynamite on the air until December, 3 months later, when Scott Daly was talking about the films of the year, and he put that on his list. The reason I didn't mention it on the air for 3 months is because I had this fear that I would mention how angry Napoleon Dynamite made me and that you would respond really brightly with, I love that film. Not that, like, you would, there's a level of it that I was like, well, if you did, then I would just have to kill both of us. It would, then it's like we could never go forward. So that's why I wouldn't say, like, oh, baby, you got to go watch Star Wars, because it's like, whatever.
Well, and it just leads to horrible, awkward conversations. There'll be people, you know, like, bringing out the group of people, and they start talking about it back and forth and quoting things, and I just have to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
And it's because just, it sounds mean.
Right, I know.
Because it's like, I think that movie is the stupidest thing ever, and I can't trust anybody who actually likes it.
Napoleon Dynamite. You're not talking about Star Wars right
now. No, Napoleon
Dynamite. I have to clarify that right now before the audience hears you angry. Yeah, Napoleon Dynamite. No, you're right. And it's like with Lara. Like, you know, I've been going on to Lara for the longest, and like, you got to watch The Godfather, 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 Godfather. And I always press under her, like, if you want to know how men view the world, you have to watch The Godfather. Like Likas always talks about, and we teach women how men think. If you want to see how a certain kind, how a lot of men view, and I mean this in a good way, if you really want to see how men view themselves and the world around them, watch The Godfather. That is the male psyche in its purest form. And plus, it's just a great movie. It's an American masterpiece, perhaps the finest film ever made. And I'm finally like, Lyra, you can't put up any longer. You got to watch The Godfather. So we sit down. And we did the whole stupid thing where we, like, made pasta or whatever, the dumb, you know, like, this whole Italian evening. And this is the whole thing. I'm like, I'm going to make, you know, ravioli, and we're going to watch The Godfather, whatever. It's like a whole, like, I made it a whole evening of, like, you know, we're going to sit, like, I planned everything out, no tasks, get everything taken care of, you know, didn't have anywhere we had to go, nowhere we had to be the next day. I'm like, we're sitting, and we're going to have a whole evening centered around watching The Godfather. We get an hour, and she falls asleep. An hour, and the Don's at the hospital, and Michael Corleone's there moving him into the other room. Men are coming here to kill my father. Now, will you help me? You know, and then I look over, and Lara's just... and she wakes up, she's like, oh, baby, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to fall asleep. Well, do you want to continue? I'm like, no, you know. And then the next night, she's like, I feel so bad that I fell asleep halfway through The Godfather. Let's finish it tonight. I'm like, no, you know, it doesn't matter. Because if I have to convince you to watch the second half, if you've fallen asleep halfway through The Godfather and you're watching the second half to be polite, it's pointless anyway.
Because it angers you.
No, and it's not even that it angers me. It's like, clearly the movie doesn't resonate for you the way that it does. If you happen to, like, work at it to get through the second half of the film, then clearly it's not having the desired effect, which is that you watch it and you go, like, this movie is amazing. So it's like, what would the, you know, one either gets it or one doesn't.
That's
so.
Like, there's this book that every single girl that I know and guy loves, and I've never been able to get through it. It's the Me Talk Pretty One Day.
Oh, by David Sedaris?
Yeah. And everybody just rants and raves about this book, and it was one of those things I got halfway through it, and I just couldn't press on anymore. Yeah. I couldn't do it. And it wasn't bad.
And if you finish the second half, it would be work.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be so, like, you could talk to people about having read the entire book. Right. Anyway, so there... Well, I'm not going to dwell on the fact that you haven't seen the Star Wars films. I'll let Aaron or somebody do that. Anyway, so the question is that I'm now waiting in alone on. The question is that if you have somebody, and I'm guessing from this email that it's a guy and that he's talking about a girl here. If you have somebody who's never seen any of the Star Wars films, the question is, do you show them episodes 4, 5, 6, then 1, 2, 3? Or do you show them episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? In what order do you show the Star Wars films to a Star Wars virgin? That is the question. It's 503-733-2970. In what order do you show the Star Wars films to a person who has not seen any of them? We will get to, we're just going to move through these as they come in here. And I got my own thought on it, which I'll give you at the end. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, could you give me that guy's address so I can go over and kick him right in the sack? Because I can't believe he's even asking this question.
I got my own thoughts on it, but who knows? Maybe yours will jibe with mine, perhaps not. What are your thoughts?
You show them the 3 Star Wars movies, and then if anybody asks if there are 3 more Star Wars movies, you tell them that they are mistaken, because there are only 3 Star Wars movies. One of them has Strikes Back in the title.
Fantastic. Did you see that interview with Lucas the other day where he called Empire the worst of the Star Wars movies? I'm not making it up. There was an interview with Lucas the other day where he said Empire was the worst of all the Star Wars films.
I there was a time when I really respected and admired George Lucas.
Well, that time has passed.
The only simile I can even think of is, would you tell somebody who'd never seen The Silence of the Lambs that they could not possibly go see it until they'd had a chance to see Young Hannibal?
Yes, sir. Would you
tell somebody they couldn't understand Dumb and Dumber without seeing Dumb and Dumber-er?
The
answer to all of these is no.
I know what you're saying, brother. I'm with you. So you're saying you simply go, you go 4, 5, 6 and leave it at that.
4, 5, 6. Perhaps don't even bring up the numbers, the Roman numerals. If they ask what those mean.
It's almost decorative.
Right.
It's just sort of a serif.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. Excellent. Kevin, God bless you, sir. Thank you. You're doing the Lord's work. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Genius. Did you hear how he was literally
having a breakdown?
How, and I told, and that's true, by the way. I'm not making that up. This won't mean anything to you. Okay, Scotty, hold on a second. Scotty, I'm sorry, you're not doing anything wrong. I'm saying, would you make a note that line 3 appears to not be working? All right. Line is ringing line 2 and then skipping and going to line 4. So note to self, line 3 appears to not be working. No, I read this interview with Lucas the other day where he said that Empire Strikes Back was the worst of all the Star Wars films. And I'm trying to think of an analogy for you, Sarah. That's like Bob Dylan saying, whatever, the definitive Bob Dylan, Blood on the Tracks or something. That's like Bob Dylan saying, well, Blood on the Tracks is the worst thing I ever recorded, you know? That crap I did in 1985 is much better, or whatever, you know? That's basically what we're talking about, because Empire is so far and away known to be the best of all the films. It's the Citizen Kane of the Star Wars universe. And then Lucas, of course, it's like Lucas just wakes up every day, like, is there anything left that I haven't done to piss them off? What if I go rape one of their mothers? Yeah, totally. That's exactly what it is. All right, let's get our good friend Chris, also known as Boba Fett, at Aaron's wedding. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, brother?
Not too much, Sarah. So you have no idea where my costume comes from in the movie Saga, do you?
No, I mean, I've no. Well, I know what a stormtrooper is.
He's not a... Never mind. No, I'm not even going to worry about it.
Wow,
yeah.
The costumes
really pretty.
No, thanks.
I had this. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Lara asked me the other day. She's like, is Boba Fett a good guy or a bad guy?
Well, I know what stormtroopers are because Clyde used to do his, like, Klingon karaoke thing and they would all be there.
I got into this. This was an embarrassing / great moment when Lara had this whole thing. She's like, so Boba Fett's a good guy? And then I swear to God I did this. I said, well, here's the thing about Boba Fett is he is a mercenary. You know, he's a mercenary bounty hunter, therefore typically thought of a villain, although it's known that in some of the expanded universe books, he goes out of his way to save children. And then I realized, as I was why? Pearls before swine. Like, why am I even wasting time? Why am I even bothering with this explanation? All right, what is your thought on what order you show the Star Wars films to a Star Wars virgin?
Oh, I'd have to go with, like, what Kevin said. You show them the originals, and, you know, if the other things come up, it's kind of like the holiday special. It's there, but no one talks about it.
It's there, but you... So the holiday special is sort of like... I have no analogy here. But it's a thing. It's like the holiday special is like maybe an embarrassing sexual fetish that you have. You have it, you enjoy it by yourself and with others who enjoy that same peculiar brand of entertainment, but you don't bring it up casually with somebody unless you're very sure they're ready to know about it.
Right. We've had this conversation amongst the rest of us Star Wars geeks, with them boyfriend, whatnot.
Right.
You know, do you show your kids the original three that you grew up on and then the new ones? And interestingly enough, one of my friends actually showed his son 1 through 6, and then, you know, whenever they, hey, let's watch a Star Wars movie, he usually picks the original three.
I've got this email here. It says, Rick, I read an interview with George Lucas recently, and he said that anyone with virgin Star Wars eyes, what do you think Lucas has said? If you had to guess, what do you think Lucas's suggestion is?
It doesn't really. Probably the holiday special, just to see how far he can piss off the geeks before they stop buying his merchandise.
Lucas says anybody with virgin Star Wars eyes should watch episodes 1 through 6 in order. So there you go. And then, of course, the email ends with the obligatory, I have George Lucas for raping my childhood. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah, but the only thing about the originals are you can sit down and watch one of those on its own, and it's a good movie. You can't really do that with the new...
No, you can't. In no way can you do that.
No, because you'd sit there and you'd watch him going, what is this, you know, crud?
Just like, why am I paying for this? Yeah. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Yeah, line, for those playing the home game, line 3 is bad. Yeah, line 3 is gone bad here. Let's see, Luke, you're on the Rick Emerson show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
You got to start with 4, 5, and 6 because... No, it makes my blood pressure go up to the point where, I would have to agree with Kevin, where you kick the guy in the sack for even mentioning it.
That's what I would say. See, here's the thing. I'm going to say something that may anger the geeks. And by the way, Sarah, do you see the unanimity of these opinions, how they all sputter with anger just at the whole notion of the geeks, and I'm doing it right now, just become short of breath and apoplectic with anger at two things. A, that this man who emailed us, and I use that term loosely, this creature who walks like a man, emailed us and even has to ask this question. And secondly, that Lucas made such a bad, bad, bad series of films over the last few years that we have to have this conversation at all. It's not like with Lord of the Rings, where you go, what's the one good Lord of the Rings film I should show somebody? I mean, imagine if, like, the first Lord of the Rings film was fantastic and the other two, you know, were, like, the middle one was okay and the second, like, the last one was bad. That's kind of what this is.
He should be asking which version of 4, 5, and 6 do you show him?
Yeah, that's another question.
The original ones, the renewed ones, the brand new ones. and then my blood pressure goes back through the roof because I paid $20 for the same movie with a bone. I got to go by.
Okay, there you go. Luke. 503-733-2970. We'll do one more, and then we're late here. We'll do one more, but we'll see what Tim Riley's working on in the newsroom. We'll break. We'll come back. We'll do some of that news here in just a second. Should I be taking, what line should I be taking here, Scotty? Two? Is it Nadie? Nady? What is your name? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name, sir?
Andy.
And Andy. All right. How can I help you? It says Nady on the screen. I swear to God.
All right, then.
Yeah, all right. What do you got, brother?
I have a friend who hasn't watched, except for about 5 minutes of episode four, she hasn't watched any of the Star Wars movies. So I'm giving her, I'm lending her episodes 4 through 6 first, and then showing her 2 and 3, and hopefully skipping 1 altogether.
Now, has she asked you to do this, or is this a thing you're volunteering because you think she ought to?
She sort of did a, I've heard I should hear, or I've heard I should watch this movie type thing, and so I basically said, yes, you should. Here, have some DVDs.
Okay, fair enough. So let me ask you, because here's my thing. With we're talking about with what order. Only this show could ever even get away with this discussion. The answer says, what order do you show the Star Wars films to a Star Wars virgin? And so my thing is this. What do you think about this? What do you think about skipping, you know, you don't use Phantom Menace and you don't use Attack of the Clones. It's just episodes 3 through 6. So, in other words, you know, you keep Revenge of the Sith, but you ignore the other two. So instead of just the original trilogy, it's the original trilogy and Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I'd definitely, probably those four would definitely be in. I'd probably put in episode 2, but...
Really?
Because it explains Palpatine a little bit more.
All right, no, I can see that. All right, okay, I can see that. All right, excellent. You're a good person, Eddie. Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Well, you can just hear the retainer on some of those guys, can't you? You can just hear a whole lot of like...
Oh, so like you're any better.
Aaron. No, I mean, no, I'm no better at all. I'm in no way better. It's a massively multiplayer online role-playing game. I'm a 7th-level Wraith. It's 503-733-2970.
We need to break.
Tim Riley, what stories are you working on in the AM970 newsroom?
Well, apparently, K-Fed's been busy with the kids while Brittany's been away. And Simon Cowell has some blunt advice for Brittany. We'll speak about that in moments.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
That's enough to work on. How much do you think I have time to work on?
You expecting more?
I think there's more than enough.
Have some more coffee. 503-733-2970. Back after this, a few more Star Wars calls. Somebody who I think wants to yell at us about Napoleon Dynamite. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Jen Lane Likas at 3. Dynamite at 7. You stay there. We're back after this. Yeah.